Now, how many of y'all are still overwhelmed when God just takes the simplicity of His truth? I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are forgiven. I'm not what I used to be. God made a sovereign move to us so that we could live in heaven. How many of y'all are still overwhelmed by the simplicity of God's message? I hope you will always be overwhelmed by that. God is on the throne. How many of y'all have had a good week? It's been a good week. You ought to have a good week no matter what the week had in it, okay? I want you to know that your faithfulness, God's move, and your response has opened up a new world. Now, I want you to hear the system today. God's sovereign move with your human response has opened up the doors for the greater impact of this ministry. We've been praying for years, not months, but years, that God would release this ministry all over the southeastern United States. Now, I hope it'll go all over the world, but I kind of like to take a chunk at a time, all right? I figured, and we're going to get up north too, okay? But we better start where we're familiar, all right? You know, Jerusalem, you know, Judea, and then Samaria. That's Minnesota, okay? So we're going to get there. We really want to start networking with people. And today what I want to preach on, when God brings a great blessing, the response of His followers ought to be to embody who He is with His great attitude. In the attitude of the church, in the attitude of ministry, in the way you live your life is the greatest ministry and witness that you'll have. You know, if you notice all these tracts and publications that we have, not a whole lot of folk listen to those. In fact, most people that read Christian books are Christians. Most people that are into the little Christian world market that we've created is just those who believe. But God's given us a great commission and a great encouragement to go and share with people that are not exposed to the great news of God. So I want to tell you, that's still our mission, to expose people to the great news of God. I'm excited this week that we took a group of children to children's camp, and five of them came home knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm excited that a couple of weeks ago we had Vacation Bible School and 22 children came to know Jesus Christ. I'm excited, even though you all think I have created a ministry for my own benefit. At Lakeside Church this summer, we've had 4 baptisms. That's what it's about. And so we're going to keep reaching out. If you'll go with me to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to talk about attitude of those who believe in response to being witness to those who are yet to believe. The attitude of those who believe. If you're going to follow Jesus, there's an attitude you ought to carry in your life. There is something happening in you. Every day you and I live, every day that you and I journey in life, we're a day closer to heaven. And Hillview, I hope we start living like that, okay? I don't want to be, you know, alarming or anything. But as we continue to grow as a church, a lot of us are going to get a lot closer to heaven quicker than we realize. I want y'all to know this is kind of interesting. 20 years ago, when the church kind of reformed itself, we were known as a bunch of young and crazy radical people who were following Jesus. In 5 years from now, and you all know how quick 5 years goes now, we will be the largest senior adult church in the city. Now, what I hope is we will be the most radical, crazy, fallen in love, sold out for Jesus group of senior adults that have ever been seen in Warren County. Okay? We can't stop the aging process. I mean, I know you can, you know, put some of that oil of Olay on, but it still cracks, doesn't it, eventually? And you can put a lot of makeup on, but when it comes off, you realize something's happening. For us men, thank God for belt loops and that the belts adjust. Amen. Those things are going to change. But you know what? Our attitude and this attitude of Christ ought to be in us at all seasons of life. This is the way we live. This is the way we respond. This is the way we react to life. So I want to challenge us. In the midst of not hearing a lot of good news, we must continue to be good news people. In the midst of not hearing a lot of good news, we need to continue to be what? Good news people. What's the commission of the gospel? Go and share the good news. Here's the reality. Earth in human function will not always be, but God will be. And so once you come to that conclusion, you can say, wait a minute, I am in a temporary moment here on earth, but I'm in an eternal position because of the blood of Jesus, because I have been changed by God, forgiven by God, I'm connected to God, then I'm going to be with who? God. So really, our job is to release God on earth. Does that make sense? For those of us who follow Christ, we're releasing the attitudes, the motion, the energy, the spirit, the great nurture of God here on earth. That's the flow of the Holy Spirit. Paul called on to this in probably the earliest book. What I love about 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, this is probably the earliest writing in the New Testament to the early church. So I want you to know these were beginning attitudes. This wasn't just something that developed, 200 years after Christ was resurrected. But this is off the get-go. These are the attitudes of those who follow Jesus. So go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 13. And we're going to flow through here because I want you to know, and I want to focus on some attitudes that we got to keep alive. Warning. I want to warn you, okay? God's done some great things here. Celebrate God. Celebrate God. Who paid off the building? God. I mean, let's really be honest. Who did that? God. If it was not for God giving us abilities, talents, understandings, good decisions, the ability to take risk, the ability to stay in there when things got tough, none of those things could have happened. So who should receive the glory? God. Okay, now we got to be very careful. When God does great things, don't grab His glory. Don't grab His glory. Let God be what? Glorified. All right? Is that cool? So who gets the glory? God. In fact, when your faithfulness, God's purpose and your faithfulness joined together and we saw a great thing happen, I was humbled. I have been humbled all week. God, how can you do such a great thing? Once again, I want to thank every one of you for your faithfulness. I've had some people come to me and say, man, I tell you what, that was quite a lick. No, it wasn't. It was a tithe. And I'm going to get that in your all's heads because you're going Americans on me. You're looking at amounts. Amounts are not God's purpose. Read your Bible. God has never been impressed with an amount. Jesus himself stood at the temple. And here came all the big boys. So they thought. Remember, and they dropped their coins in the plate. Pastor Mark, and they made sure they went clink, 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 so people could see them. Now, who's standing there watching this go on? Eric, you remember who's standing there watching this moment of temple offering? Who? Jesus himself. God's presence, the essence of heaven, God in flesh. Remember Pastor Shane? There he is. Jesus on the scene. Okay? There's a widow, and she comes up with a widow's mite. It doesn't even make a noise in the offering plate. It looks silent. It looks humble. It looks like, why is she even up there? Does her little bit matter? Jesus stops when she drops it because she gave all she had. Now, I want you to know, don't ever forget this. Don't ever get caught up in the gold. Folks, don't ever get caught up in the gold. Because here's what you really need to understand. Gold is pavement in heaven. We're going to have some people that live on the streets in heaven because that's what they worshiped here on earth. I think it's very significant that God would show us that what we value is our standard of security is His blacktop. And here's what He's trying to tell us. Get beyond that. Get beyond that. Faithfulness is the key. Now keep this attitude. Love one another. Look what He says in verse 13. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you. I respect every one of you that work hard, and I encourage every one of you that are lazy. Is that fair enough? How many of y'all been to Hillview long enough to realize that we do not honor laziness in this church? We've had people leave this church because they said, I'm too hard. I expect them to get a job. Let me help you. Not only do I expect you to get a job, I think it is your spiritual responsibility to be at work. So if that bothers you, there's another church that'll tell you a lie. It's the truth. Part of being in this world is working hard. Does anybody in here agree with that? All right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of great things have happened in this church, but it's been a combination, Mr. Jackson, hasn't it, of God's sovereign will and man's hardworking response. That'll get you somewhere. How many of y'all believe that'll get you somewhere? Okay, y'all pray for me. I really need to preach that at 11 o'clock. All right? We got a world today, we got people that need a therapist after they work 3 hours because they think they're in overtime. I told somebody a long time ago, the worst thing we ever did to our youth generation is create a round baler. Every young man ought to have his hands on some square bales. And he ought to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, start the baler at 5:30, get in at 8 o'clock in the evening, sweat a whole lot so he can understand that God created him to work. Respect those who work hard among you. You know what happened? There's a lot of folks here that worked hard and God was able to do some great things. Does that make sense, guys? It's okay to work. Just tell your neighbor, it's okay to work. It's okay to work. Now, parents, I love you guys. Guess what you all need to do? Right now, the children are not going to like Pastor Steve. Parents, you ought to have some chores for your children. Uh-oh. It will not hurt them. Teach them this. That will, if you have a male child, please teach them to pick up their towel and not lay it on the bed. Because if you don't teach them that, their wife will try to teach them that one day. So it just creates less fighting in the early marriage, okay? Now, these responsibilities are important. Respect those who work hard among you. Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. You know what? I just want to say this. I respect every person we have on staff. I can say this with integrity, and I wouldn't say it. I couldn't say it before at times. But on this particular mixture of staff, everybody works hard. Amen. Everybody works hard. I got so excited to watch Pastor Jeff when he gets that brochure ready. I mean, he edits, and he makes sure every paragraph can pass the English exams, you know. And Nathan, he's in there making sure his graphics look. Guess what? He wants that to be the best. You know why? Because he believes everybody in this congregation better know the Bible. I respect him for his, what? Attitude. I respect every one of you for your attitude. I get excited. When we're out and about in the town and we're with people in the church that are working hard, I respect your all's work. It amazes me what some of you all can do. Yeah, I'm amazed by people that can put things together. Any of you all amazed at people that can put things together? I can't put things together. Now, I can take things apart, but I can't get them back together. Any of y'all have that problem? Everything I fix, I find that they put too many parts in it originally. Because, Freddie, I always have some left over. And I figure I'm just smarter than the engineer, and they didn't need those extra bolts. That's until I take off and the wheel comes off, okay? So, yes. Everything's got its purpose. Respect those who work hard among you. Pastor staff, I want you to know I respect your hard work. Because I know that it still takes, even though we have a sovereign, I believe this down to my little toe. We have a sovereign God whose will be done. But that doesn't get done unless there's hardworking human beings that go along with it. We've missed that point. Paul worked till exhaustion. Never one time did I hear about the Apostle Paul talking about the stress level of his ministry. He said, I've been poured out like a drink offering. Now, that's the way you get things done. You poured it. And he got stoned with rocks thrown at him. Yes, Nathan, correct. We have to be careful about stoning metaphors in this moment of time. Now, look here. He said, I admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in the love. Because of their work. Live in peace with each other. It's very important that we find the ways of peace today. How many of y'all understand? That's an attitude we got to hold at Hillview, man. We got to find the ways of peace. Do not find ways to disagree with people. Amen. Find ways to unify yourself with people. Amen?
That's right.
Now, Hillview, we got opportunity. I'm going to tell you something the devil wants to do right now. He would love to divide this church. He would love to divide this church. You know how he starts dividing it? By people that whisper little seeds of division. You know how you kill little seeds of division? Don't listen to little seeds. Carry this attitude. I'm giving you strength because what do I know? What do y'all sense? I know if God's dropping a big blessing and he's already done that, Who's lining up right now? The devil, boy. He'll sow seeds of what? Division. That's what he does. He says, oh, Damon, I don't know about Pastor Steve, man. I don't know if he likes you or not. See what I'm saying? And he starts all that stuff because guess what? Here's what Satan knows. If a congregation is sold out to God, believes in the cross and resurrection, is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and is unified, it's undefeatable. It's undefeatable. So what would happen if we live in peace with each other and we admonish and admire each other in the Christian church? You know what would happen to the church today? Pastors. I'm just referring to the pastor section over here. Pastors, what would happen if for 1 week pastors didn't bust on each other? What if they were blogging about the great works of God and not blogging about what they disagreed with on their colleague? Apparently, the new movement in ministry is to blog about people who are getting it done. Now, I'm old-fashioned. I'm an old man. I've seen it, but I'm getting older. And I've always found those who have time to write about others is because they don't have anything to write about. That's just a word of wisdom. If people are talking about you, what should you say? Amen! How many of y'all glad to be talked about? Listen, if nobody's talking about you, there's a good chance you're doing nothing. Yeah, a good chance you're doing nothing. Nathan, I've heard people talk about you. You know why? You're bold. I mean, you tell people that if they don't follow Jesus, they're going to hell. That ticks them off. And they go, who's that little boating kid think he is telling me I'm going to hell? He's the man who believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. He's sold out him. He walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he desires that nobody else end up in hell. That's who he is. The devil will talk about those who are faithful. How many of y'all believe that? He'll talk about them. Live in peace with each other. Find a way to live in peace. When you're dealing with people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, find a way to live in what? Peace. Remember this. Anytime you're dealing with a non-believer, you're the bigger person. You're the bigger person. Don't get mad at people that don't believe. They're supposed to be full of sin. How many of y'all found it to be true? I mean, Christians just get me so tickled. They're going, well, the world just does these things. They're going to hell. When you're going to hell, you do stupid things. You say stupid things. You have ridiculous ideas. You know why? They come from hell. Claypool, you ever seen a blessing come out of hell? Me either. I've never seen the devil ever bless anybody. Any of y'all ever seen the devil bless anybody? Now, I've seen the devil hand out temporary exhilaration that ends up in eternal tragedy. The devil, he just wants to kill you. Live in peace. Devil hates peace. He hates peace. The devil hates it when Elizabeth and I get along. Why? We might do something together. The devil's not, guess what? Markel and I, our relationship, guess what? Boy, you would not believe over the years of ministry how many people have tried to divide us. Why? They don't even know they're trying to divide us when they try to divide us. But what happened is, who's the devil use? You and me. And here's the warning. Anytime it becomes about you, it's off course. I don't care if you're the pastor, an elder, a BAM team member, a Bible study teacher, a faithful giver. Anytime it becomes about you, you've stepped off what? Course. How many of y'all found you can never find any peace in you? How many of y'all found that to be true? If I focus on me, I'll never find any peace. If I focus on him, I see eternal reality. Live in peace. Now look, and we urge you, brothers, and warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak and be patient with everyone. Let me sum that up. For those of you that are doing nothing, we want to encourage you to start doing something for the Lord. Amen? For those of you who are timid, you need to get around some bold people that can help you step in. All right? Does that make sense? And then what does it say? Be patient with everyone. Eddie, all of us are getting better. Hold on. The greater ministry is yet to come. How many of y'all believe that? The greater ministry is yet to come. You know, this has been pretty good, but wait till you see what God's going to do with the children that come out of that building. What's that church going to look like? I can't wait. You know, I'll probably have white hair when that happens. That's going to be exciting. I'm going to be a white-headed dude, you know, rumbling around here going, man, what God can do with those who are faithful. So guess what? If you're doing nothing, God really wants you to do something. See, I really want you to be warned. Warn those who are idle. Don't be idle. Warn those who are timid. You need to speak up. Okay? You know one reason people don't know Jesus? We won't speak up. I just want to tell you something. I've really found very few people offended when you stand faithful for Jesus. I think you have the right to believe in Jesus. Now, is everybody going to like that? No. That's okay. I don't like what they believe, but I'm still their friend. Make sense? But we need to speak up. And I find sometimes we Christians, we don't speak up. We just kind of go, well, if I'm just quiet, they really won't know I'm one and we'll get through it together. No, speak up, man. Let them know, hey, I follow Jesus and these are the blessings of my life. Now, be very careful here. Look what he says. This is our attitude. And the Lord will bless those who carry this attitude. Look, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and everyone else. Is kindness an important thing in the life of the church? Be kind. When is it that we're not kind? Come on, talk to me a little bit. When do we become a lot less kind to one another? Okay, we're worried about ourselves, Keith. That's a leading reason. What else? What about when we're demanding our own agenda? I don't know about y'all. I'm married. Some of y'all are married in here. A lot of y'all in here are married. I kind of get irritated when Elizabeth doesn't do what I want to do. Doc, you ever like that when you're, you know, I mean, come on, woman, do what I want to do. How many of y'all have ever had this happen? Your wife or your husband's done what you wanted them to do, and then you were unhappy because you didn't like it. You thought you needed to get this or go on this vacation. You got there, and it was a disaster. And then you look at him and said, I can't believe you let us do this. See, we won't get satisfied ourselves, man. Be kind to one another. Don't demand your way, but demand God's attitude. Does that make sense? Look what he says. Come on. Work with this. This is the attitude I hope every one of you all catch, and I hope you live it out, and I hope it becomes very much the way we are at Hillview always. Be joyful always. Be joyful always. Be joyful always. Now, I'm going to really ask you a question. Jesus Christ dying on a cross, rising from the grave, greatest miracle that's ever been known to mankind. Now, I got to ask you a second thing here. How much more does God have to do in this place to convince us he's in charge? Let me just help. If you're at Hillview and you don't get it by now, you're probably not going to. God's in charge. Now, you know what that does, Bobby? Oh, it makes us, we go, well, does he need me? No. God does not need us, but here's the greater news. He desires us. He wants us to be a part of it. I don't know about y'all, but hey, that makes me feel special. That God would invite me into his work. Does he have to have me? No. But he invites me. See the difference? And sometimes we think, well, Lord have mercy, if I don't do this, the church is going to fall apart. Well, let me tell you what. If the church depends on you, we're done. If the church depends on me, we're really messed up. That makes sense, Billy Lowe? But when the church depends on the Lord, guess what? We can be joyful always. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? But be joyful. The number one criticism I hear about Christians is that they are the most boring, dull people in the world. I don't agree with that. I have found Christians or believers to be the most exciting, exhilarating, full of life people in the world. Now, I have found church people to be some of the most stodgiest, boring people in the world. I separate. I think you can go to church and not know Jesus. What do you think? I think you just get caught up in religious rules. Here at Hillview, I want to emphasize, We want you to know Jesus. Crucified, resurrected, full of life. Be joyful what? Always. Well, one of the ways to kick that joy up is pray how long continuously? How many of y'all prayed that the building be paid off? Come on, I want to see hands. How many of y'all prayed faithfully? God, pay it off, pay it off. Guess what? God answers your prayers. I know if you were on the BAM team, you prayed consistently about that. Mark prayed every day, didn't you, Mark? When I'd get a little nervous, I said, Mark, you think we're going to be all right? I said, Mark would go, you know how Mark is. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing, he's a big God. I said, I know, Mark, but I think you're going to be all right. He said, we'll be all right. I said, what about the economy? We'll be all right. But Mark, did you see this and this and this went on? We'll be what? Now, here's what I found. I think you need to have a partner that helps you stay joyful. How many of y'all got somebody in your life that helps you stay joyful? I can find some things that are not joyful. Any of y'all able to find some things that are not joyful? My wife cannot. She's always joyful. She gets this part of the text down. She's just always been a joyful person. When I want to be in a bad mood, it makes me in a worse mood because she tells me the things that are good that are going on that I don't want to look at the moment. How many of y'all, when you want to be mad, you don't want to be around joyful people? We've had many fights where she goes, well, you're not looking at this and this and this and this and this. And I go, honey, you're not the pastor. You don't see the underlying problems here. And you know what she says? And you don't see the big God that's in charge. Elizabeth pointed her finger at me before and said, let me tell you something. I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, you're not in charge of Hillview Heights Church. And she says, and I thank God for that every day. He is. Now, hold on. When you come to that conclusion that God is in charge, what does that change? Everything in your attitude. Let's keep it there. Amen. Changes everything in your attitude. Be joyful. Parents, I love you guys. I want to pray a prayer on you. Your children ought to grow up in a joyful home. Have fun with them. Have fun with your children. They ought to want to come home. Be a fun family. Be a family filled with Christ. Joyful what? Always. Pray continually. These are the attitudes of success. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will? There it is in the text. Give thanks in all what? But what if the doctor says you got cancer? How do you give thanks about that? Well, I got cancer. Thank God I've been saved and going to heaven. Now it gets real, doesn't it? Thank God that He knew this day was coming before I got there, and He secured me. Now, guess what else you can do if you get cancer? Pray that God heals you. Sometimes God's going to heal you to show everybody once again what? He's God, and He's what? In charge. Give what? Thanks in all circumstances. God has an answer no matter what the situation. How many of y'all believe that? God has an answer no matter what the situation. Stay in there. Hillview, we're going to stay in there. And then He tells us this. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. How many of y'all understand this is a Holy Spirit-filled church? We still believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe God's power. I believe He is the third person of the Trinity. I believe the Holy Spirit's not an it. It's not an object. It is the personalized Spirit of God Himself. It fills up believers. It baptizes them with fire and power and unction and purpose, and it's undefeatable. Don't put the fire out. Nobody in this church, nobody in any church has ever been saved unless the Spirit of God convict them. No man can talk another man into salvation. Don't put out the fire of what? The Spirit. You know what that really means? Don't doubt what the Spirit of God can do. Pastors, if you're reading theology where they tell you there's not an anointing of the Holy Spirit, those are a bunch of lying dogs. And the only reason they don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit is because they think their writings are more powerful than God's fire. So here's the problem with the Holy Spirit. You can't sell it. Yeah, interesting, when the Spirit falls on people, it's never for sale. You know why? It's pure. Can never be sold. Now don't put it out. Don't treat prophecies with what? Contempt. Don't automatically doubt it. Don't automatically believe it. But pray. Don't despise prophecies. Yeah, don't treat them with contempt. How crazy. Eric's been preaching on Jonah on Sunday nights. How crazy did Jonah sound when he went into sin-infested Nineveh and stood up and said, "Repent, God wants to save you." Ridiculous. But some of them believed. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Test everything. Don't believe everything you hear. How many of y'all need to learn? Don't believe everything you hear. How many of y'all lived in Bowling Green surrounding area long enough as you find that in this area people like to gossip? How many of y'all found that? I think they even got something on the internet now called topics or something like that. I've made it a couple times. Topics. I know up in Glasgow, they burn it up there on topics. They love to talk about each other. You know why? They're not focused on who to talk about. What if we talked about the possibilities of God, the salvation of God, the reality of God, as much as we did what other humans are doing? It amazes me in this culture what voyeurs we are. I mean, we got shows, you know, Showbiz Tonight, CNN, a news station, has a whole program on nothing but celebrity gossip. Why are we into that? I really don't care what happened to Britney Spears' midriff. What I care about is that Britney Spears comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. She repents of her sins and she ends up in a glorious heaven. That ought to be our attitude. Why do we care about such superficial things and forget such important things as the grace of God in our lives? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. And then here's what he says. Avoid every kind of evil. Hold on to what is good. Hold on to the good. And avoid every kind of what? Why do we need to avoid evil? It'll rob you joy. Slows your life down. How many of y'all found that evil does not pay off? Kills your spirit. How many of y'all find even evil that feels good does not last long? So he says, avoid evil and put your life into things that are joyful and good and sound and profitable. Why? Here's what God's going to do. And may God himself, this is my prayer for our congregation, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Through and through. May there not be anything in our lives untouched by who? God. Sanctify through and through. The God of peace sanctify you what? Through and through. So that means we're going to continue to grow. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to our Lord Jesus Christ. May you stand before God and may he know you. That's when it's pure. How many of y'all are okay when Jesus comes back? Now, if you're nervous about that, you need to really evaluate your salvation. For those who really believe, they should never be nervous about Jesus' return. You say, well, what if Jesus catches me doing something bad? Well, that would clue me in that I may need to get away from those things. This is a good way to determine if you need to do it. If Jesus comes back while I'm doing it, will he be pleased? How many things would that change in our lives? You know, let's say you're at a UK basketball game and you're fixing to cuss the ref. How many of y'all want Jesus to come back while you cussing the ref? Some of y'all like me, you're glad he hadn't showed up yet. Amen. But see, let that conduct yourself. If Jesus catches me doing this, will he be what? Pleased. How many things is that changing in your life? Let that change occur. Make sense? May you be blessed through and through, sanctified, changed, disturbed by the holiness of God. Now, I want to close on verse 24, and I want you to really lock down here. The one who calls you. Not me, not you, not a system, not a methodology, not a theology, not a process. The what? One. Who calls you? Who's called you? Brady, who's called you? God. The God of the heavens and the earth has called every one of us in this room. That God, the one who calls you, is faithful. How many of y'all glad we got a faithful God? Here's what that means. Here's what it means to have a faithful God. God does not quit when we do. God does not leave when we do. God does not give up when we give up. God does not see hopelessness when we see hopelessness. God is faithful. I love this part of the scripture. And He, not me, not you, not we, but He will do it. Not Nike. God. God had the first do it slogan. You remember the Nike slogan, don't you? Just what? Do it. The cross and resurrection has a slogan. He will do it. He will. You say, well, Pastor Steve, how do we get attention? There's nothing greater than the love of the Heavenly Father. Now I'm going to blow you away. You don't need as much attention when you finally realize you're loved by God. And I hope for all of us, we will realize God loves us. We don't have to earn His attention. He already has it in front of us. So we need to live it out. Make sense? Y'all been wonderful today. How many of y'all thank God that He's for real? Amen? He's a real deal. Real deal. Well, today, you know what? There's some of you today, guess what? For the first time in your life, you need to step forward and you need to say, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to go ahead. I can speak on His behalf in this moment. He desires to save you. So, Pastor Steve, how do you know? Not only have I read the Bible, I know the heart of God. He desires to save you. Jesus Christ came so that you might be saved. As our pastors come forward, I hope some of you all will come forward today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, I hope today you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I need all my sin forgiven. And guess what Jesus is going to say? Yes. Jim, I've got some gray hair now. Not one time have I seen Jesus refuse a sinner. I started preaching this beloved gospel when I was 16 years old. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, will not die, but shall live forever. I'd stand up in youth groups and FCA meetings and say, hey, listen, we're a bunch of heathens and we need to get saved. And when I asked them if they were sinners, they knew they were. And a few of them, Ted, they'd walk down the aisle and say, man, I need to get that salvation stuff you was talking about. I said, all right. I said, ask Jesus to forgive you your sins. And they would ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins. And guess what? You could hear the holy, you are forgiven. Now, the same happens today. I went to seminary for a while and they trained me. Messed me up. When I started following their training, I didn't see as many people falling on their knees and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. So I gave up my training. And I went back to, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not enter this world to condemn it, but that those who were already condemned, they might be saved. That seems to be a very important thing to God. Today, I hope you'll walk this aisle and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be joyful always and prayerful continually. So to do that, you've got to have Jesus Christ in you. If that Holy Spirit's right now going, you need to be forgiven. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Say, you're right. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I repent. I'm sorry. I know You died on the cross and You've risen from the grave. Come into my life. Church, it's an important thing to be baptized. After you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized. If you've been baptized as an infant, guess what happened? Your parents and those that loved you so much and loved God so much that they made sure you were christened or sprinkled or baptized because they wanted you to follow God. I think a great amen to their great heart is this. As an adult, you say, you know what? I have received the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, and I want to make a conscious, my decision, baptism. Now, we immerse here, and the reason we use immersion, that means we put you under. Because you know why? We want you to really know, all my sin is gone. For us, a sprinkle ain't enough. We got some hard sinners here at Hillview, all right? We want to get it all out. And when you raise up out of that water, that's so you can get it what? It really lets you know, I'm going to get it all going on with God. I've been buried in Christ. I've been what? Risen in Christ. Those are real things. So if you have not done that yet, I encourage you to do that. I want to let you know God's stock's coming out. A lot of you all like to be baptized in the lake. I'm with you 100%. Okay, just a lot of folks like to be outdoors when they have that baptismal experience. Is it more authentic? Yes. Most of the baptisms were outdoors for years. And so we'll be gathered on the good report. The beach is back in time for God's stock baptisms. Dale, I was a little worried. I didn't see her till a few weeks ago, and she's back to summer pool, so we're going to walk down to the beach that used to have sand on it, and we're going to baptize. You know what? I want you all to pray for this now. As many as possible, God. Amen. As many as possible. I think we need to change our goals to more of a God-sized vision, and our prayers need to constantly be as many as possible today, God. I want to praise God, 5 souls connected to Jesus Christ in children's camp. I want to praise God for what went on in youth camp. Our young people just got back from youth camp for 5 nights. They listened to one of the greatest pastors in this nation, Lou Giglio, who can deliver the Word of God with truth and pointedness. And God has gifted him to speak. He's literally spoken to millions of young people's lives. They were with him. A lot of the praise and worship songs that we sing are written by Chris Tomlin. Well, that happened to be their praise and worship leader at youth camp. The guy that writes the praise and worship choruses that are sung all through the world was their youth leader at that camp to lead worship. 6,200 teenagers worshiping God together in a crazy, enlightening way. What an experience. What an experience. You know what provided that for those kids? God did through you. So guess what? Continue to be faithful. We're just beginning. There's fixing to be new churches everywhere coming out of this church. As what, Donna, you remember that piece of paper I drew all those circles on? Yeah. I still got it. It's circle time. Other places, you know. I never dreamed we'd have a church in Costa Rica. Hillview, Costa Rica, several baptisms this month. And what is exciting about that, it's rainy season in Costa Rica. Since they don't have cold weather, they just get wet. And people don't come out when it rains a lot. And when they have rainy season, we're talking about 2 inches in a half hour. And people are being baptized. I mean, not from the rain, from the church. Did y'all ever think we'd have Hillview, Costa Rica? I mean, I didn't even know the difference between Costa Rica and Puerto Rico when I came here. God's touching places in Africa now. They're beginning to talk about. We're even hearing about places in England. So let me tell you a kicker. Hillview, London. Would that not be a rise? But it'd be just like God to send a bunch of improper people to a bunch of proper people to show them the grace of God. The way God works. I pray that every one of you bring a friend. And I pray that every one of you who follow Jesus are going to put one of those baptismal robes on. And you're going to walk down those steps with your friend. And you're going to watch the Holy Spirit show them how they're buried in Christ and risen in Christ. And you get to look and go, God, how did you use my life like this? And you'll hear a whisper from the Holy Spirit, I am God. And you have not seen all you're going to see. Let's stand together. Pray with me, Lord. For those that need to be drawn to grace today, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that sins be forgiven in this place. That your Holy Spirit would search the hearts of men and women right now, and you would draw them to the grace of God. And Lord, as you draw them to the grace of God, may they repent of their sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be forgiven. Forgive me. We believe that you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave, Lord, and we honor that today, and may that be stirred at this altar. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will seal in to this worship service the attitudes that we've talked about out of your word today, that you seal them in. The attitude of joy, the attitude of prayer, the attitude of thanks, the attitude of honoring, the attitude of working, the attitude of encouraging, Lord, you will seal those attitudes in to this place today in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, for every believer, that be sealed in their life and be expressed in their life. Lord, for those that are coming today for baptism, we rejoice and we're excited. So, Lord, we pray you just release this altar. I pray against the devil. I pray against demons. I pray against all those things that would try to disturb your church because they do not have authority. And we recognize that truthfully. They do not have authority. So, Lord, may we honor you and you alone. May we not listen to things that will kill us, but only those things that bring us to life. So in the name of Jesus, this altar is open. It is free. It's for everyone, whosoever. So if you need to pray, prayers of healing are always at the altar too. Just come and be with God. Come on right now and just let the Lord touch your life. Let's pray and give thanks. Let's honor God in all that we do.